Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 32 of the Nerd Cantina Show. This week was a packed week for entertainment news. So we're going to be discussing the latest round, Matrix 4. We're going to talk about Borderlands 3 news. And then there's a ton to cover with the D23 Expo in the Star Wars world, Marvel world, and we're going to talk about all of it. Following all that, Steve and I are going to play a little role-playing as I'm going to represent the Sony exec versus Steve as the Marvel Disney execs, and we're going to talk about who the fuck's to blame for this nonsense. All right, lot to get through. Let's get going.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, welcome back, nerds, and well, let's get started with the news. So jumping right into it, we've got some new information on the Matrix 4 movie, and it's a go, it's going to happen, and it's a little different than what we originally talked about.
Yeah, before we had talked that there was rumors and it was going to be a prequel and Michael B. Jordan, but we also expressed that rumor has been going around for a while and it just kind of was regurgitated. But I guess there was some validity to it, as there is going to be another Matrix 4. Lana Wachowski is going to direct and produce it. I think produce it too, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know she's writing it, and I'm pretty sure she's going to direct it. And Keanu and Carrie-Anne Moss are signed on to come through. So that's actually some big news, you know, that it's contractual now, and they're going to be doing the beginning steps of scheduling and whatnot. So another Matrix, I'll take it.
Yeah, really curious to see where it's going to go. I don't know how they're going to take it from here following that last movie there. So let's see.
It'll be interesting because like the whole Matrix trilogy was all about how it worked in cycles. You know, like they did it before. There was always a Neo. There was always, and they just reboot the system every time, and it just keeps happening and happening. So it'll be interesting to see how they take this story further.
Coming out of movies, so before we move into D23, one news article that you shared with, just because it's kind of interesting, going into Borderlands 3, and essentially their team stating that if you intentionally misgender any of their trans non-binary characters, which they do have in Borderlands 3, not playable characters, but they just have some of the actors NPCs. Or NPCs going through there. If you intentionally misgender them, you can find yourself getting banned permanently from Borderlands 3.
Yeah, this is a man. I don't know, man. You know, like it's, you know, they said like if you know the character that they're referencing to prefers to be a they them, you know, and if you don't say in forum posts they them when referring to this NPC, they will ban you. You know, they said if it's just an accident, like whatever, but if you're, you know, constantly and intentionally misgendering a fictional character, mind you, okay? Yeah. Like let's get this straight. You know, if you intentionally misgender a fictional character, they will ban you from the forums.
It's weird. I'm okay with these things because again, it's a private company. They can do whatever they want. If people don't like it, just don't buy the game. Don't care. Like if it's not like, you know, some people are going to complain that it's like obligating speech and making no, it's obligating you to just play by the rules. If you purchase their game, at least they're being upfront about it now. I'm good with that. It's kind of a weird stance, kind of in the middle, in the sense
that's all I'm saying is like this is where you want to plant your flag.
Well, like, it's not like they created one of the playable characters as a non-binary character or a trans person. Like, you just like threw like a random robot and didn't assign a gender to it. And
well, we don't know how important this NPC is to the game. If it's it might be,
but you know. Still, I don't know. It may be a little weird, but I just don't know. Is this going to be something that, you know, Activision is going to be doing in the future? Is this going to be a big part of, I guess, how they're going to handle characters in the future? And it's just the forums that they're really focusing on. So I don't know if it's much of a deal. It's very progressive in nature, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's, you know, how strictly can they be enforced anyway?
Yeah, I mean, nowadays with algorithms and stuff, I'm guessing it's a lot easier to catch these things. So it's, you know, it might be enforced a little more than we think. You know, I don't know. If you agree or disagree, you know, this is where your financial support and participation comes in. Like you said, if you don't agree with it, if you don't like it, don't buy the game, don't play the game, don't talk on the forums. If you support it, buy the game, play the game, and participate in the forums. You know, but I just think it's really, really kind of odd. You know, like, you know, I try to be sympathetic, you know, the LGBTQ community and how they want to be represented and how they want to participate in our society. But I also have mixed feelings about forcing language upon other people and forcing someone to have to speak in a certain way. So I'm kind of torn, you know, to these issues.
Yeah, I imagine to the community, just the fact that somebody is willing to say, yes, you need to respect our, you know, our preferred pronouns, you have to respect those things. I imagine it's of benefit that people are at least talking about it, recognizing that there are certain norms that are expected. And then I don't necessarily put it at the same level as like obligating speech that you see in other areas like college campuses and stuff like that, just because you are purchasing the game.
Yeah, I'm not
you
trying to support dead naming. I'm not trying to support doxing in any form.
And it's in the forums. Know? So the forum rules are going to be, you know, just like any forum, you're going to sign into the forum and it's going to have a certain rules, posting rules or whatever else. And if you violate it. You're going to go away. I mean, these rules exist in Reddit threads and stuff like that already. So it's not that big of a deal. It's just that it's now a major company.
And that's the thing is, if it's just a they, them thing, you know, it's not asking too much. But I know my girlfriend worked in the medical community and in the programming aspect. And when they were designing like the form to fill out on, you know, how you prefer to be referred to when you're filling out your name, your billing address and blah, 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 blah. It was like a 60 choice drop down menu for the preferable pronoun and preferable, you know, like that's my fear is that we're going to get to a point where you're not going to be able to navigate that space. And whether you intentionally try to offend somebody or if you're just trying, you know, I'm just a big dummy trying to navigate all these words, you know, That's my fear is, you know, you think that you're trying to support the community and use the proper pronoun, but there's a new pronoun today. And this is what the one I would prefer to use. And then next week, there's another one. And now we have a list of, you know, of all these words that we need to use to make sure. And we have to figure out which one you want. And I'm supposed to read your mind and. Like I just, like I said, it's a weird space, and this is kind of inching us towards, you know, like getting almost out of hand, and you know that's my fear.
Yeah, but I think it's good for the community. It may come off as a bit awkward. We'll see how it plays out, and when you play the game, see how that character's played out, because that character was written by a non-binary individual.
And that's what I want to see is how strict they enforce it. You know, if people make honest mistakes, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. It should be a forgivable and an understandable mistake. You know, this is new to our society. You know, it's something that not everybody is even current on. You know, a lot of people don't pay attention to this shit. Yeah. You know, so if someone makes an honest mistake, I just want to see how it's handled. It, you know, if it's a, excuse me, I understand you may not know, but this is the preferable pronoun. Or if it's a, you disgusting bigot, how dare you? You know, there's a wide range of reaction to an honest mistake in this realm. And that's what I fear.
But this is where conversations happen. Like this is, you're going to get both, right? You're going to get the people who are like, yeah, you know, you made an honest mistake. Really what you should be referring to this character as is, you know, they, them, or whatever else. And then you're going to get people who are going to be like, bullshit it. That thing's a he. And I will call a he forever. And then, ban, like, on. I don't care. Like, I don't feel bad for you.
Well, I'm worried about the reaction, too, is if you just make an honest mistake and say, well, I was trying to get this quest and he didn't give it to me, and people are just like, it's they, you disgusting piece of shit.
Like, yeah, ban those people too, right?
You know what I mean? Like, that's, and, but that's the thing is I see the honest mistake guy getting banned, but the guy that spews vile shit because someone made an honest mistake, I think they're going to get prestige.
We're going to take this down. a long path. But yeah,
like, these are the fears. Like, these are the fears, and this is the conversation that kind of needs to be hashed out. Not everybody that just has a slip of the tongue or doesn't know the current standard is a bad person, and that's what I fear, is labeling people with good intentions and honest intentions these vile monsters when they're not.
Yeah. And I mean, we'll see how the actual conversation take place. There's going to be some of that. There's, again, there's,
oh,
going,
you know,
to be
the day the game releases, they're probably already on the forums hashing this out.
Probably. And, but I don't think that's a bad thing, right? People need to have these conversations, and Activision's kind of created a place to do it, whether it's going to be productive or not, who knows, but it's not going to go away. So might as well talk about it. Might as well get corrected, whether it's impolitely or politely on a forum, which, you know, I'm always on the fence on these things, but it doesn't impact me. I'm, you know, to the non-binary community or whatever else, they may be saying, great, like, let's have an opportunity to correct people in the forums.
I'm all about inclusion, and I want people to feel comfortable, and I want people to feel like they're represented properly. But I also, like I said, just fear, you know, honest mistakes just being blown up. We're in this day and age where if you don't navigate this minefield of society, you get thrown out and chastised pretty fast.
Yeah, but in the interest, you know, we've got our interview with TakeThis.org releasing this week, and it talks about the need for diversity and stuff in developers. Well, if you're going to invite diversity and in developers to come, well, then you should probably protect their characters. You should probably allow that to be represented properly and ensure that it's doing justice to that community. Not that you just allow a developer to come in and then you allow the users to disrespect the community as a whole by doing whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, I mean, it all boils down to just don't be a dick. Like, right? Like we were saying, I think they were saying this in the community, you know, just don't be a dick.
that's harder said than done. So let's end this here. And if you have some strong thoughts on this, hey, please let us know in the community, thenerdcantina.com/community. Let us know in the Facebook community. Send us an email. If you have strong feelings one way or the other, and we'll continue this conversation. We just will not continue it right now. So moving into D23, and that's where the vast majority of the news that we'll talk about for this week is coming from. And let's begin on the Star Wars side. So it really broke down into different panels. You had the parks panels, which we're not going to talk very much about the theme parks, but then you had Star Wars panels and then the Marvel panels. So we'll talk Star Wars first. Definitely first thing for us to talk about is that Mandalorian trailer.
That shit was bomb.
It really is. Like, there's no way that you looked at it and you're like, "Nah, that looks like a good
maybe
okay
I'll
show.
Watch it." Yeah, like, maybe I'll watch it. Either you're not going to watch it because you don't give a fuck, or your fucking mind was blown and now you're counting down the days till November.
Well, and it's like, even if you weren't a Star Wars person, you couldn't have watched that trailer and been like, that's too Star Warsy, because it really isn't Star Warsy. You know what I mean? Like, nothing in that trailer came off as, you know, the cheesy jokes and the fantasy stuff or whatever else. Like, no, it just looked like a raw sci-fi show that's gonna play out well. Like,
I mean, there's a big portion of the community that, like, the minute you invoke space, they're out. You know, like, there's some people just don't like sci-fi. Despite it being a good show, they're just like, man, spaceships, I'm gone. And it's like, okay, guys, if that's not your thing, goodbye. You know, but it does look very well produced. Some of the cinematography and the trailer alone was movie level. Like,
And I said the tone set in it is not the normal targeted at kids, kind of Star Wars type thing. You know, it was for the kids through adults. Like, no, this looks like adults. Like, you just chopped a dude in half of the door. and you start the first few seconds with stormtrooper heads on a pike. Like, no, this is not Star Warsy. This is not the super family friendly Star Wars shit.
Those space doors don't have that garage door sensor on them, obviously. That you have the Indiana Jones on the way out.
Yeah.
I did have one gripe, though, from seeing the trailer that I brought up on a post that my buddy put up. I haven't talked about it in the community, though, so hopefully maybe we get into a discussion this week on it. But they showed, like, the bounty hunters handing in a line of bounties frozen in carbonite. Like, did you see that?
Yeah.
From my understanding, in Empire, when they froze Han, that was like a spur of the moment thing.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, how are we going to transport them? Oh, we'll just put them in this carbonite. That carbonite was used for transporting not living cargo. And they were like, well, he could die in there. And they're like, oh, well, you know, if he dies, he dies. But we got to get him to this other place. And that's what we're going to do. So the show makes it seem like that's commonplace to like every bounty hunter now has like a carbonite machine in their in their ship. And that's how we transport bounties now. So that kind of confused me a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so where does Mandalorian fall in the timeline of Star Wars? I remember them hearing news that they did put up a timeline. I just don't remember where Mandalorian falls in. If it was after the fact, hey, maybe that's just lessons learned. Like, they looked at it and they said, oh, remember that one time when they transported that one dude, Han Solo and Carbonite? That shit worked. And now everybody's doing it. Who knows? I don't know where that falls in the timeline of things, but I think Mandalorian is after the original.
Yeah, I was gonna say I thought it's post.
So like I said, it is. I'm looking at the Star Wars timeline right now that they put up during D23, and Mandalorian is falling after Rogue One, Emperor Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. So it's falling after all that. So yeah, makes sense.
Is it pre Force Awakens?
Yes.
Okay.
So like I said, lessons learned. They just stole that trick from the bounty hunters who caught Han.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, second, fucking Ewan McGregor, Obi-Wan. We were wanting an Obi-Wan movie, and they said, we see your Obi-Wan movie, we're going to give you an Obi-Wan TV show.
Yeah, and he came on stage. They did it right at the very end of the panel. I think people were wondering if it was going to happen at all, and it did for just the last like minute of that panel. Didn't really say too much about it other than the fact that it's going to start filming next year, probably a release in 2021. And it's rumored
right
now.
It'll probably come out the same time season 2 of Mandalorian comes out, I'm assuming. Somewhere around then.
Maybe somewhere around then. And it's rumored to be 6 episodes right now. And, hey, I'll take 6. I'll take 10.
Yeah, man, it's a 6-hour movie. It's 2 movies. You know, we're gonna get 1, maybe 2-hour movie. Instead, we got 2-3-hour movies broken into 6 episodes. I'll take it.
Yeah, and this is Disney Plus is having such a smart release, and I mean they're building hype out to 3 years from now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
just start your subscription now. Don't cancel.
And yeah, my fear is that they're not going to have an Xbox app for this Disney Plus the day it releases, and I'm going to have to try to figure out how I'm going to watch this shit. You know, like there's no sign of a Disney Plus app on my Xbox yet, so that scares me.
It'll happen, but yeah. So I mean, not a great deal of details. They didn't even come up with the name of it yet. Like I'm hoping that the name of the show is just going to be like Old Ben or Ben Kenobi. Some kind of throw into, him being in exile and changing his name while looking over Luke.
Yeah, I'm just all for this. I don't even want to speculate. I don't even really want to. Like, I just kind of want to shut my brain off to this and just give it to me. Just give it to me and I'll eat it.
Well, and you kind of have to because 2021 is not close. So, I mean, it's not too far, but it's also
people are going to be talking about this. There's going to be all kinds of speculation articles and stuff. And like, I'm going to fight clicking them, to tell you the truth. Like, if you see a really good one we should talk about on the show, you're going to have to send it to me because I'm not clicking none of this shit.
Oh, I will. I'll ruin it for you. But let's move on. You know, another show that they're talking about. It's also looking to start filming next year, and that's the a prequel show following Cassian. So this is leading up to Rogue One. It's rumored to be 3 years, or not really rumored. They talked about it at D23. It's going to be 3 years prior to Rogue One. So maybe you get 2-3 seasons of Cassian and. Man, I can't remember the droid's name.
I think it's K2SO or something.
But yeah, as they're being part of the resistance.
Back to our definition of nerd and dork. Yeah, like I'm a nerd. I know the robot, but I'm not dorky enough to constantly remember the call sign.
But yeah, so you're going to build into that season. That they talked about it. The actor who plays Cassian talked about it on stage of it being 10 episodes, of being 10 hours of content. So, you know, maybe you're looking at a 10 episode first season and then roll that into hopefully maybe a 2 and 3 as you've still got 3 years to build a story before that Rogue One storyline hits. What they haven't said, they didn't say in any of these whether they were going to be kind of immediate release seasons, like the Netflix model that just dump everything.
Yeah.
Or they're going to do that Hulu weekly season.
I think they're going to do the Hulu weekly, to tell you the truth. I think
so too.
Disney's really good at marketing and building suspense, and I don't think they want people binging like you do on Netflix or Amazon.
I agree. I think they're going to want to try to build it as, you know, almost like television model, you know, water cooler stuff that they can build into episodes.
Yeah, you want people talking about it during the week. You want like, and I'm okay with that. Like the binging is kind of new, and I almost, you know, I love pounding out the seasons right away, but you know, I finished Mindhunter and now I'm like, shit. Like I you know what I mean? Like Handmaids was a drawn out kind of, you know, thing because you have to wait till Wednesday for the new episode to release. So they don't let you rush through it and you get to digest all the content fairly well. Man, I pounded out that Mindhunter in less than a week and it's like, well, shit, now I got to wait another year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they cut down that wait time by making you draw out the episodes because it takes 2-3 months to watch them and then you only have 9 months to wait till the next season rather than 11.
They haven't said either way. I do believe we're going to get, I think they're going to go that model just because of who Disney is. I mean, they're super smart with how they control
and they own Hulu, and that's the way Hulu does it.
Yeah, and so we'll see. I especially when the original content's going to be kind of low at the beginning, it would be smart for them to space it out. They're not Netflix with a stockpile of Netflix original shows, so they have a strong slate starting. But if you just let people binge watch it in the first day, you don't have much for you. It's hard to keep that longevity of interest. So I think they'll do it.
Yeah, they don't want to burn out all their content right off the bat.
And then. Another show in the Star Wars world going into Disney Plus is you've got Clone Wars. So they're going to fire back up Clone Wars, pick it up where the last season left off. And they're going to do that in February. So coming up. So that one's not too far out. It's pretty close to initial release there.
Yeah. I'm all for it. Like, man, like these are like, it's like Halloween, man. You just go door to door and people just throwing candy in your bag. And it's like, you don't care what candy it is. You just fucking, it's free candy. I'll take it. Take it. Just give it to me.
All things original Star Wars, whatever. Just take it all. And then really the last big thing from D23 on the Star Wars front was the footage that they put up for episode 9.
And we record early Monday mornings. And thank God they released that this morning, so we actually got to watch it as we were setting up our mics and getting ready for this podcast. We were like, oh shit, it's up, watch it. It's mostly an homage to the previous movies, but right at the end they give you some new footage and it does not disappoint. You know, you heard about Rey's double Sith lightsaber, Darth Maul-esque. And it wasn't exactly what I imagined.
Switchblade style, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't what I imagined, you know, when you hear about it. You know, so...
Yeah, so if you can check that out, you should go to YouTube and check out that little two-minute thing. It's not much of a trailer, but it does have some footage. And, you know, it's really interesting. I don't know where this movie's going to go, right? There's a lot of talk, but in the first trailers, you get what looks like Kylo fighting his Knights of... Knights of Ren, that he's fighting his own people, and now you got
they could be just throwing mad misdirection out there for you,
and I really think they are.
That double bladed lightsaber was just a night terror that she was having, you know, while training.
It's very possible, right? I think they are just throwing a bunch of misdirection. I don't think anything they're going to put in any of these clips is going to truly tip their hand on where they're taking episode 9.
After The Last Jedi, I'm just glad to have some excitement going into this movie, because like I was just really deathly afraid. You know, once they said that, you know, JJ was back on, and like they've been over the last 2 years giving you some kind of like, don't worry, guys. We defend The Last Jedi, but secretly in the board meetings, we know it was shit.
Yeah.
and we're going to do better.
All right. Well, unless you got anything else from the Star Wars front.
Yeah, no, we got to keep it moving. So let's get into some of this Marvel news.
So going into Marvel, I guess first we'll talk about the new shows. So they did talk about some new shows coming to Disney Plus, which again, they're really hitting this Disney Plus release hard. And you're going to get She-Hulk, Moon Knight, and Ms. Marvel as what they announced as three new shows. And you might have to enlighten me. I don't know who the hell Moon Knight is.
Oh, Moon Knight's dope. I have all the Moon Knight issues. The best character I guess I could compare him to is Daredevil-esque, with more of a like magic spiritual kind of background. But his character plays out kind of like Daredevil. You know what I mean? He goes around, he fights crime. He's got a ship, I'm pretty sure, that he flies around in. I haven't read him since the issues came out, and God, fuck, a decade ago. But I do remember buying like the first 12 issue run as they were coming out when they rebooted the Moon Knight franchise. And it was really well written. It was really good. So if they base that off that franchise, it's not in the shelf that's behind me. If you watch the YouTube videos, you could see my comic book shelf and all the comics I have on my shelf that I choose to display. The Moon Knights are up in the storage boxes. I might have to.
I was saying you might have to pull them out now.
Yeah, I know. Actually, no, they're going to stay there nice and crispy. I'll just go buy a graphic novel version. You know, but yeah, I'm all for that. She-Hulk too. Like, I know the minute they announced She-Hulk, the incels came out mad as hell again. Like, oh, we're getting a She-Hulk show. This is what you give us. And it's like, man, She-Hulk's actually a pretty good character. You know, she's a lawyer by day. You know, it's part of that kind of like Hell's Kitchen, Luke Cage, Daredevil. I'm hoping they use She-Hulk to bring in the Matt Murdock again, to bring in the Luke Cage, and take these Netflix shows that they pulled and reintegrate them into Disney Plus and the MCU again.
Yeah, I didn't know there was much of a tie there between them. So, I mean, that would be cool if that's kind of their entry point back in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. Give me more Hulk.
Yeah, and it, you know, it ties in. It's all canon and into the MCU now. So we'll see where She-Hulk goes. Maybe, I don't know, maybe she can fix the actual Incredible Hulk's storyline, because still not a fan of where that's going or where that's gone.
Well, and then they're giving you a Ms. Marvel show, which I think a lot of people are going to equate to Carol Danvers and Brie Larson's Captain Marvel, but that's not the character. It's you know, more of a Reed Richards power based character, a young Latin girl. I think she's Latin. I might be wrong about that. She might be Muslim. I can't remember.
Somebody fix us.
Someone yell at me. Someone call me stupid and correct me. But she is a person of color, I guess we could say. And she has, yeah, like the stretching abilities and a way different power base than what people, you hear Marvel, you know, Ms. Marvel.
I get it. Your comic arm, you are Marvel. Do you really need two characters named Marvel as well? This is confusing.
I'm wondering if they're going to use the same little girl from the Captain Marvel movies, because she was wearing the outfit in the movie.
Oh,
like,
was she?
Her best friend's daughter.
Yeah.
Had that like lightning jacket and the color scheme and stuff like that. Like, so I don't know if that was just like an homage they did for the movie, but they're not going to tie it into the TV show, or if they're going to make that girl's daughter Miss Marvel. Like, I'm not quite sure how they're going to do this, but it's a youthful character. So I think this is going to be more geared towards the young adult audience.
Yeah. We'll see how that, that kind of plays out. And so not in new shows or newly announced shows, but still another new show coming out. They talked a little more about WandaVision in a sense that I something I didn't really find interesting or care about was that, you know, they're bringing in some of those comic relief characters like Kat Han or Katherine Hahn plays in the Thor movies, her character, as well as the officer, Jimmy Woo. So they're bringing back those kind of comic relief characters, and they're making WandaVision almost like half sitcom, which that I've got no stomach for that, I think.
Yeah.
Scarlet Witch is such a good character.
We'll see. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. Like, you know. It's fine. Like, I'll consume it. And, you know, I mean, maybe it's about time Marvel gave me something to shit on again. You know, like, I do like writing bad reviews and have fun ripping on things at times. So if this is the one that takes it, then oh, well.
Yeah, I'm really curious. Apparently they had like Dick Van Dyke clips and stuff that they're playing in the panels. You can't really see those things. But we'll see. I'm not excited that they're kind of shifting that towards more of a lighthearted comedy sitcom nonsense. But the only other major note that I have on here is Kit Harington being announced. It was rumored. Nobody knew what he was going to be doing. That he's going
to
be
Everyone in Eternals. Went right to Wolverine. Like Kit Harington's going to be the next Wolverine. And I was like, I guess that's not that bad. He's short.
Wouldn't be mad at that. But no, he's just going to be a non-immortal character in Eternals. So don't know if he's going to have a long run in the Marvel MCU or if it's just going to be that single movie.
They're trying to keep his character a little under wraps too. I'm wondering why they didn't announce his character at the Phase 4 announcement.
I don't know. Maybe it wasn't worked out yet. He still wasn't even at D23. Like, if he was fully invested in this thing, he would have been there on stage with all the rest of the cast. So, you know, it might still be pretty fresh. They just finally inked the deal right before D23.
Yeah, which, like, you know, then leads you to believe, like, how far are they out in production? Like, is this thing out on schedule? Yeah, I don't know. It should be interesting. Like, like I said before, this Eternals story, I didn't enjoy the comic that much, but they might be able to spice up the movie enough to get you kind of bought in.
Yeah, I'm curious. We'll see where it's going to go, but let's move on. So this next topic we're going to go into, we'll spend a little bit of depth of time into as we go into some role playing, and it does tie into the D23 in the sense that, hey, the news came out just beforehand, and people had to walk on eggshells at D23. You did get Kevin Feige coming out and talking about Spider-Man falling out of the MCU with the deal from Sony falling apart. And so to kind of set the stage, if you haven't paid any attention to anything,
if you've been living under a fucking rock for the last week,
then you should probably know that Spider-Man is, as of right now, no longer in the MCU going forward. Sony is not allowing that to go that direction over some contractual disputes. Sony has owned the rights to Spider-Man since, fuck, I don't know, early 90s. I don't know when did they buy the rights.
So right before Civil War, because that was the first time you've seen Spider-Man.
No, I'm saying, when did Sony buy the rights initially? Like, Sony has owned Spider-Man for.
Oh, so when the Tobey one, right before the Tobey.
Yeah, and I mean that's.
You know, it was when Marvel was having financial troubles. You know, they were on the verge of bankruptcy. They sold the rights to Fox for X-Men. And then, yeah, they needed to keep the company itself. This was before they had a studio or anything. They needed to keep the company afloat.
Yeah, and Spider-Man being one of the most iconic and bankable superheroes in kind of the Marvel realm, Sony bought those rights. They still hold those rights. It's in like an ironclad contract that as long as Sony continues to make Spider-Man movies, they maintain the rights. There's nothing anybody can do. So Sony can never sell itself. If anybody else buys Sony, then whatever company buys Sony loses the rights to Spider-Man. And if as long as Sony continues to make Spider-Man products or movies, then they maintain the rights. So they just have to keep churning shit out, which is why they're constantly resetting and stuff, because if they go a certain period of time without a movie, they lose the rights. So Sony's just going to keep doing this, and they're going to keep producing these things and hold tight to these rights. Marvel and Sony had a weird arrangement that was, it's the first time something like this has ever been done, and it's now falling apart. So the problem is, who's to blame? Whose fault is this?
And so I came up with like two analogies when thinking about this. So one, you know, us being from Chicago, we're big Cub fans. This reminds me of like when the Tribune used to own the Cubs. You know, they're profitable no matter whether we win or lose. They're going to make money. So why dump a bunch of money into making a good team that, you know, could end up losing money? Why spend a bunch of money that's going to dip into our profits on a big roster when they're profitable anyways, you know? And then they sell the team, they get new owners, they dump a bunch of money into it, they win a World Series, they make money, more money than they thought they could ever imagine. And it just shows that, you know, if you take the property and do it right, you know, or if you take the team and you piece it together right and invest, your returns are multiplied accordingly. You know, that's kind of one way to look at it. Another way for me to look at it is you sign a first round draft pick quarterback to his rookie contract. You know, you get him for 3 years at like $500,000, you know, and he kills it. MVP his first year, you know, takes you to playoffs the second year, just proves that he is doing a great job and such a good addition to the team. And then when his rookie contract's up and he's like, all right, man, you see what I did? I did great, right? How about you give me a big contract? The team's just like, yeah, now fuck you. Like, we're going to sign you to another rookie contract or you could fucking go. Well, I made the team better. Like, no. Yeah, we don't care about wins or losses. We just want to put a team together, and we want you for that old contract. So fuck you.
Well, at this point, so I get what you're saying, and I'm gonna play the defend the Sony, right? So let's go ahead and role play this thing out.
All right,
and
you all can, right, here we go.
Let's pretend that you're on the Marvel side of things, which you are, right? You naturally, you think Sony.
Oh, for sure.
Sony's to blame for this. And I naturally a bit in the fence, but for the sake of role playing here, I'm going full Sony on your ass. And
all right, monster.
Yeah, I'm the one who broke up the family here, but there are valid reasons why, and some of them is simply fuck Disney, right? So let's go ahead and get started. So the Disney agreement, nobody really knows, right? Even us executives here, we don't know exactly what
was said in the boardroom when it got hashed out, but the rumor is,
but we do know the current deal. Right.
So we know the current deal is one of the shittiest things I've ever heard.
It's not. So 5%. This is kind of an industry standard to some degree.
No,
not from studio to studio, but first money contracts exist all through entertainment. First money contracts exist.
Yeah, but it's something that Leonardo DiCaprio started in Inception, which is a decade old. You're talking. It's not commonplace. It's new.
No, but what I'm saying is it exists, right? And while it didn't have to happen, Disney maintains 100% of all merchandise, which is no small amount.
But that's only because that was from the original deal when they sold the movie rights. They kept the toy merchandise. They weren't dumb enough to give up the toy rights.
Marvel, yeah. And
yeah, now that has nothing to do with the movie deal.
You're like, still making money off of my Sony movies.
Sony never had merchandising rights, so
yeah, you're still making money off of my movies.
This argument is a moot point because they never had the option.
On top of that deal, I at Sony am bearing all of the costs. I'm producing this. They're my directors. They're my contracts with actors. Everything about this is funded by me, contracted by me, and directed by me. Kevin Feige and you guys lend direction and allowed for these crossover events. But they weren't your writers. They weren't your directors. We told our story in your universe.
Yeah, but as Kevin Feige is a producer, a producer has final say in everything. If I don't like what you wrote, I fucking change it. I don't like what you're shooting, I fucking change it. And you can't say shit. So you may have hired that director, but I'm the fucking superintendent on this job, and what the fuck I say goes. So I don't give a shit who you got to direct it and write it. It's my final say that made it a good product.
And that's fine. And there's no doubting that our team up here has benefited my products significantly. And our Spider-Man is benefited from it. We're not going to ignore all the work that's been laid. We're just going to now take it outside of the MCU. We don't need any more crossover. Spider-Man's strong enough to hold up on his own. We own the rights to 900 characters in the Spider-Man universe. I don't need the Avengers. We don't need anything that's going on in your storylines to continue. And for us,
what you do need is fans. And
oh, the
by
fans are
being,
coming.
By
get the fuck out
bullshit.
Of here.
Bullshit.
Well, oh, what, are they going to boycott? Get the fuck out of here. Nobody's going to boycott.
Bullshit.
Okay, and even if you want to boycott, that's in the U.S. You think internationally people are going to boycott? You think in China they're going to boycott?
If Star Wars fans will boycott a Han Solo movie because of a shitty Last Jedi, you better fucking believe that Spider-Man fans will boycott a Spider-Man movie because you don't give a shit about them.
Well, you're talking locally here, which, cool. We make the majority of our money on our movies internationally. Our China market, you look at what the money we made on Venom, the vast majority of it was made internationally. Why do I want to give up reported 30% of my total gross proceeds so that what? I can have a loose tie-in to the Marvel MCU and in original movies that are focused on Spider-Man? I don't need anybody else to have a focused Spider-Man movie. I sure as shit don't need to give up 30% of gross proceeds in order to do that. So I can have
a
loose tie into the MCU.
Your highest grossing movie ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Thanks. And we'll build off of that. I appreciate it.
No, like, and that's the thing is you won't build off of that. You'll tear it down.
But
you are going to produce a far lesser product and people will walk out. They're not going to give a shit about Spider-Man. They're going to rip on this thing because now Marvel has set the Spider-Man bar and you alone will never be able to achieve that bar.
We'll see. We're keeping the same writers who wrote Far From Home. We've kept
good
them.
For you.
We still
good
have
for
Tom
you.
We still have Tom Holland. We still have,
do you though?
Yes. He announced at D23, he's still going to reply.
Yeah,
continue
he's
his
under
role.
Contract.
Absolutely.
Does
so we
he,
still
does
have
he
Tom
phone
Holland.
It in? Does he phone it in or is he actually happy to go to work?
He's coming to work.
Like, but I'm just saying, like there's a big difference of
this
going,
is still his
sitting in
role.
Your cubicle and playing Minesweeper all day or actually, you know, filing those TPS reports.
Now, this is still his iconic role that he will be known for the rest of his life. And he's not phoning it in.
He does
he's
one good movie between now and the next Spider-Man movie. He doesn't fucking need Spider-Man.
Yes, he does.
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, and he does one good movie in a separate realm so that he's not forever tied with Spider-Man. You know, because like Andrew Garfield, no one calls him Spider-Man.
No, because it was shit.
Well, what do you think you're going to do? You made those, motherfucker. You made those. And Andrew Garfield's not known as Spider-Man.
And we now have a new team. We have new writers. We have now new directors that are taking that exact same model. Hey, I get it. There's no denying that the collaboration with Marvel has benefited Sony Productions, but not to the tune of surrendering 30%. And it's not just about Spider-Man. That fucking mouse that you have over there is trying to eat all of it. All 900 characters that I own. Not just Spider-Man, but you're going to try to take Venom. You're going to try to take what we're trying to build towards with a Carnage run and everything else.
You're using
you don't
the, you're
get
using
that.
The wrong terminology. Not take, borrow.
No. Borrow. There's no such thing with Disney.
We're willing to put up half the money and take only 30% of the profit.
Nobody cares about the production.
You care about the money. You brought it up fucking first. You're like, we funded it. It's our director. It's our writers. You fucking brought that up. And we're saying, look, we'll alleviate that problem for you right off the bat. We'll put up our money. We'll put our money where our mouth is.
We have no problem getting funding for a movie that's pretty much guaranteed to make money.
If who funds it doesn't matter, then don't bring it up in the argument, because that doesn't fucking matter.
That's not something that deserves an additional 30% of the total rake of the movie.
Involving you in a multi-billion dollar franchise does.
Let's look at things. So we don't have the data yet for Far From Home and how much money that movie made. But we do
over $1.1 billion.
It's over $1.1 billion in ticket sales. It's not profit, right? Well, we can talk about profit from Spider-Man Homecoming, which was also very not as big in the box office, but very successful run, right? We made more money in Venom. We made 30% more money in Venom with no assistance, with nothing else. We made more money in Venom. Now, you're telling me it's like Far From
Home.
And
it got bad and mixed reviews.
It got mixed reviews.
Especially on the nerdcantina.com, where I pretty much shit on that movie. It wasn't good.
But this is where a 30% profit, 30% of gross proceeds coming off the top, is going to put these movies to where, even if we don't sell $1 billion in tickets, even if we only have a light release of 700 million, which we're still going to get, you think people are going to stop coming to it? They're not. Like, maybe we're going to get a small boycott here in the U.S. That's fine. Venom only sold 200 million in the U.S.
If you're fine with just trying to maximize profits and fuck negative press, then that's how you live your life.
Isn't that what you're doing?
That's how you live your life.
Isn't that what you're doing by trying to take the intellectual property that I own and come claim 30% or walk?
No, I'm just trying to get the credit I deserve. I am an intricate part as to why you're making such record profits, and I just want a larger cut than 5% of the first day sales. People are seeing these movies multiple times, not because you wrote it, not because you directed it, but because Spider-Man is in the same movie with Iron Man. Spider-Man is in the same movie with Thor. Spider-Man is in the same movie with all these other characters that we own. And that is why you're making that much money. We deserve the profit.
So without your assistance and without your financial burden coming off the top on the gross proceeds, we don't need $1 billion release. We hope we'll achieve that on our own. But even if we only have a $700 million release, we're still going to make more money than $1 billion release with you. And that's fine.
I like taking pride in our work and knowing that we provide a top quality product along with making those record profits. If you're okay with putting a bow on a bag of shit and handing it to people and taking the money, then that's on you.
You also love the control. And that's something that 30% stake, it also comes with the fact that I have to relinquish control of my movie scheduling.
If you want to be part of the 22 movie ensemble and now fucking 15 TV shows, and if you want to wrap your character, your IP into this ball of greatness that we've bankrolled and crafted and took a big long shot on when we made Iron Man 1, if you want to be involved in that, then yeah, we have to be able to make sure that your shitty vision that you've proven you have doesn't taint our product.
And I'm not okay with that, right? We own the rights to this. We want a Spider-Man movie. Spider-Man/Venom or whatever.
Then every two years. And that's the point.
And when you tell us that we walk,
and you go ahead and make shitty movies that people rip on to make a few fucking bucks. If that's the life you want to live, that's fine. But people don't respect that. People don't respect you. People don't respect your company. And you are going to lose. So if it's about maximizing profits is being in the MCU.
It's not. Not for us. Because
not for you with the deal we want.
Right.
As long as we're only willing to take 5% of the 500 million it's going to make on the first day, you know, and then you take the rest of the 700 million it's going to make over the next few months, that's the only way you'll work it. But if like that's the thing is, and not to mention sacrificing a portion of your potential profits as a thank you for making you over $1 billion in one fucking movie. And now like we produced the best movie you've ever made, including outside of the superhero realm, including your Bond franchise, including like everything you've ever fucking touched doesn't compare to the movie we produced for you.
And we were
how about a fucking thank you, you piece of shit?
Yeah, you got a 5% thank you.
No, that wasn't a 5% thank you. That was
5% of first money on the biggest movie release that we've ever had.
That's not a thank you. That's a shitty arrangement. That's the least you could do.
Well, what we can't afford to do is 30% of gross proceeds. And that's what's rumored at this point in time. And like I said, and it's 30% of gross proceeds. And it's also a significant slowdown in our movie schedule. If you tell us, as it is you release phase 4 and Spider-Man's not in it, and then you release phase 5 and we get one movie in there. We want to have one every 2 years. We want to have a Venom Spider-Man movie every 2 years. We want Tom Holland to still act while he looks like he can maybe be a high schooler and, you know, young college student. We don't want to wait a decade to get to Spider-Man 4. But right now you've got X-Men to roll out. You got Fantastic Four to roll out. Kevin Feige's too busy
to get to our movies. You've never made it to Spider-Man 4 because you produce shit. What you do under your schedule still hasn't gotten you to a Spider-Man 4. It got you to a 3 once, and 3 was the worst shit you've ever done.
There's definitely no defending that, which is why we shut it down. And we went this direction.
So you're already looking to Spider-Man 4? Why? Why? You've proven in 2 renditions you can barely get to 3.
Because we're taking your model, right? You have absolutely brought in a great character here in how we've tied in the Tony Stark bringing in Spider-Man. There's no denying that it's great, but we can take it from here in a direction with a Sinister Six out of the Venom franchise, a Carnage run. We can take it in that direction, have our own team up movies with our 900 characters. And we don't have to lose 30%, and we don't have to lose
control. You hope. No.
And we don't have to lose.
You're talking like these are facts.
They are facts.
Of what you're going to produce in here. With the news that came out and with how everybody feels about this, don't be surprised if this movie is barely profitable.
They will definitely be significantly profitable. Again, the U.S. trolls don't go and steal our China money, right? And that's where the majority of our stake, where we made our money, we have such significant ties. Half of Venom's costs, production costs, were paid for by a Chinese company. It was significantly promoted there. We made the majority of our money internationally.
Well, what I don't know is how China is taking this news. Do not underestimate the gumption of the Asian community. And if they're mad, they for sure won't fucking go see this shit.
Venom has nothing to do with MCU. And they came out and supported significantly the international
community. And that's because nobody has seen a Venom movie and everybody was curious. And now that Venom 1 was shit, I highly doubt Venom 2 is going to make the same amount of money.
You're still going to go see Venom 2.
I write everybody's movie reviews. Of course I'm going to go see Venom 2.
You're still going to want to go see how Woody Harrelson ties Carnage in. And what we own, the intellectual property
people like me aren't why you make $800 million. People like me barely get you to 400 million. You need the average fan, the movie fan, not the comic book fan. Venom got movie fans to go in. People that like horror movies because it had a dark aspect. You need people that don't just go see superhero movies. You need people that are getting tired of the superhero genre because it's so saturated. Why will people spend money to go see your shitty second Venom movie, your shitty third Spider-Man movie, when I'm putting out 5 fucking TV shows and have released all the info to phase 5? There's no need to go see it. Yes, there's going to be a community
going to see it.
Yeah. You're going to be profitable, but you're not going to be as profitable as if you worked out a deal with us.
If I'm 75% profitable, I still make more money than giving up 30% to you.
and you tarnish your name to do so.
Okay. I don't need to give control over something that we had the foresight to see, to lock up in a contract. I don't need to give up control to Disney at this point in time.
And that's fine. And after this, you better hope your stock prices don't drop, motherfucker, because that mouse has got a team full of lawyers that will do a hostile takeover.
No, you're not.
And we will eat your fucking lunch.
You don't have money for that.
I think they do. The fact that we have made multiple billion-dollar movies, I'm pretty sure that Disney can get a line of credit from anywhere enough to buy anything anywhere. Like, let's be realistic here. You know, I just have, like, that's the thing is, these movies are all going to make money. It's fine. It's going to make money. But what you did is you shit on the fans. How it affects you from shitting on us fans, that is yet to be seen. And you were banking that it's not going to have that big of effect. And we are hoping that it is.
This is that internet argument that fans want to talk and side with Marvel because they're just so brainwashed that Marvel's the only ones that could do anything and everybody should just bow to Marvel. No. Marvel's not about the fans.
We're not saying bow to us.
Fans. Yes, you are, though.
But make a fucking good movie and then prove us wrong. Then make a fucking good movie and prove us wrong because guess what? DC can't. Fucking you can't. Fucking, like, nobody else is making good superhero fucking movies, good superhero television. Like, just because we fucking set the standard and have for the last fucking decade doesn't mean we're the fucking enemy. Do better. But for the last 30 fucking years, DC and Sony and Fox have proven that you bask in mediocrity for profits.
We'll see where this goes. But what we retain is control. We'll come back to the negotiation table. But you're going to have to concede quite a lot, right? The profit, the money's a big part of it. But we can get past money once we can demonstrate that we can make money. But if you're telling us that we'll have more profitable movies, but spaced out twice the distance apart from each other that we wanted, well, two, again, mediocre movies in the middle makes us more money.
What no one's really talking about either is good luck getting top name actors now for your fucking studio.
Everybody likes to think that we, again,
oh yeah,
it's
I'm sure
all
David.
Money.
I'm sure David Harbour is not regretting taking on that fucking Hellboy role after the last fucking Hellboy. These like who's going to want to be the next Spider-Man? A fucking nobody like a Tom Holland.
We don't need a next Spider-Man. We have Tom Holland.
You're not going to get a Gyllenhaal to play a Mysterio for your fucking shit movie.
Sure, we can.
No, you can't.
It all comes down to money.
No, you can't. No, because these actors have legacies that they care about.
And we got a Tom Hardy as a Venom. How many bigger names are than Tom Hardy in this age group, in that peer group?
And Tom Hardy was shit in that movie. Tom Hardy was shit in that movie. And if you don't think he's looking back on his performance and what went into his performance and the fact that, man, if I make three more of these shit Venoms, I might not be able to ever do an Inception again. I might not ever be able to do some of these artsy movies that I enjoy doing because now I'm just looked at as this campy dickhead that is in a symbiote suit. Like, actors think about this shit. Actors think about how these roles will affect their future movie choices. And you may be able to get some, but you're not going to be able to get your top ones. Like, MCU can get anybody.
They
want a Tom Cruise, fucking they'll get a Tom Cruise. They want a Pitt, they want, you know, a Kidman, they want some of the biggest actors and actresses in film. They're not going to not say no because of the direction the studio takes their properties in. You, on the other hand, actors are going to read the script, sit home, think about it, talk to their publicists, talk to their fucking managers, and weigh, is this a net positive for my career? You're going to get a lot of no's.
We'll see where the direction of the movies goes. Again, Sony will go, I don't believe that this deal is dead. They go back to talks. But where Sony absolutely is smart in turning these things down is, yes, some of the profit can't, there's a dollar amount there that giving up the profit just doesn't make sense, because even a smaller released Sony produced movie is going to be more profitable. But
yeah, Sony's really, like I said, Sony's the Cubs now. Sony's the Cubs.
Yeah.
You're going to make money. You're going to put a team on the field, but you're going to be the fucking laughing stock of the goddamn MLB.
But when Marvel.
Lovable losers. That's what I'm going to start calling Sony from now on. The lovable losers.
But when Marvel tries to control the strategic release of our movies, that limits our ability to cross over into Venom, into having our own Sinister Six movies, into having our own Carnage runs, because it impacts their MCU.
Because you want to come in our sandbox. You want to come in our sandbox? We got to have say of what games, of the rules of the sandbox.
And that's why it's smart for us to walk. Because then we can continue to produce movies at our
schedule. No, that's why you think it's smart for you to walk.
You can, again, the only argument Marvel has.
Time will tell. Time will tell if this is a smart fucking idea.
So, well, let's let time tell. At this point in time, we're okay with that. So
okay,
we hold all the cards. we hold all the cards. You're just hoping to borrow them.
No, well, like I said, we can wait it out till you motherfuckers go bankrupt too, and we'll buy it out. That's fine. I hope you dump a bunch of money into it and it fucking sinks. You know, that's the thing is Marvel bankrolled their next 30 fucking movies that have nothing to do with superheroes with that last Spider-Man movie. So yeah, Sony's going to live off Marvel money for a while, but that Marvel money will run out and we'll see how you motherfuckers feel about it.
All right. Well, end scene. And then I don't fault Sony. I don't think there is a to blame situation. Like, honestly.
Like I said, I understand it. I think it's bad business. I think it proves that they don't care about the product that they're putting out. I think it proves that they don't care about the fans' voices.
They just think they have the team in place to continue the product, right? The main points of that product. Yes, the story tied into the MCU is a part of it, but in the end, they have their own stories that can be told. The Spider-Man properties that are owned by Sony is so deep.
It's a scary thing though to think that our entertainment industry is going to only look at numbers and not care about reviews. And then if that turns to be a trend, you're going to see the movie industry start to falter as a whole. People will stop going to the movies.
I don't know if it's ever not been that way. I don't know what you like. It's always been about money.
No, it's not.
Yeah, at Sundance, they care. But when you're talking about major blockbuster releases, it's always about the money. It's always about how much can be made versus how much was spent, and that's it. That profit margin is all that matters.
That's not it. That's not it. It's a major portion. I'm not going to deny that it's not a major portion. But for every studio, that's not just it. Or else you wouldn't get movies like Tolkien made. You wouldn't get movies that are artistic that they know people aren't going to get out to go see
movies. Getting made if they lose money. If Iron Man wasn't such a surprise success on how good that movie was and how it drew in big audiences beyond what they ever expected. If Iron Man didn't do that, the MCU doesn't exist. They didn't go into it with this big plan that we're going to do this great thing fans.
They put all their eggs in one basket and made Iron Man 1, which was the smartest thing they could ever do.
Absolutely. But if it wasn't profitable, they're not doing it to continue just for the fans. That doesn't exist. Everything has to be profitable.
Yes, as a business aspect, but you also care about your reputation. You also care about the product you put together. You know, like,
your reputation is only as good as your last movie. Your reputation disappears. It comes and goes. It really doesn't matter.
Last movie without us was shit.
Yeah. The last two that we've done, we're not.
And I mean, we still have that guys, team in place. I don't know. You guys are 50-50 on Spider-Man movies. You've made like 7 of them. 3 of them were good.
Yeah. I we could beat this dead horse. I think it can go either way. I'm curious. I'm hoping they still work out a deal, but I just don't think the what Marvel is probably behind the scenes asking to do.
No, I feel bad for Spider-Man fans because, like, as I do enjoy the movies, I could give a shit if Spider-Man's in the MCU.
Well, and
now that Disney's bought Fox and we have every mutant available to our disposal now, fuck a Spider-Man, kill that little bitch. Yeah. I don't give a shit. And I hope in the next Marvel movie they just put a text screen on the black screen. August 9th, 2020, Spider-Man got into a car wreck and you know, kill him with syphilis for all I care. He got syphilis his senior year of high school.
They actually can't mention him. So they can't even mention him. But it's going to be I'm looking forward to when, like, Deadpool shits on this whole situation.
There's a team of lawyers in a room right now trying to figure out how they can address this issue, and once they do, they're gonna shit on it. And yeah, like I said, I really don't care if Spider-Man is in the MCU at this point. Like you said, I'm gonna go see the movie just because that's what we do for the podcast and stuff like that. And they're gonna make money, but it's not going to be something to be proud of. It's not going to be something that fans receive well, and the MCU is not going to hurt from it. They're not.
Like I said, we'll see. Let's go ahead and end this thing here. And have a quick, thanks for listening. Hopefully you enjoy a little bit of role play. This is big news, as far as these contractual debates, and we had a little fun.
Oh, yeah, we're at like 115 comments on this thread in the Nerd Cantina community. So like, it's,
let us know what you
join
think.
Join on in. Join on in.
Let us know what you think. Let us know who you believe is at fault, as we'll have a poll up on who's really at fault here for the blame game between Marvel and Sony. And do you think they're going to work something out in the end, as I think many of us are hopeful that behind the scenes right now, there's still some people talking and figuring this out.
Yeah, and like we always say, visit the nerdcantina.com/community, participate. Go check out our merchandise tab on the nerdcantina.com and purchase your Video Games Are Not to Blame shirt. We have the board of takethis.org on the show this week. The proceeds from that shirt will go help support their cause in fighting the problems that we have in the video game community. So head over to the merchandise tab to check it out. Scoop up shirts for a good cause.
All right. Well, that all said, thanks again, nerds, for listening to episode 32 of the Nerd Cantina Show. See you soon. Real quick, we just wanted to mention one of our favorite new apps, which is PodCoin. So assuming that because you're listening to our podcast today, that you happen to be a podcasting nerd. And if you are, I can't see any reason why you wouldn't want to get paid for your time.
I'm a big fan of getting paid to do stuff that I do in my daily routine. Anyways, I sign up for all the rewards programs possible. And with PodCoin, you actually get paid to listen to podcasts. So every minute that goes by that you're listening to your podcast, you are throwing away potential money.
So go ahead, download PodCoin app on either through iTunes or through the Google Play Store. And when you sign up with the promo code Nerd Cantina.
One word. That'll get you 300 free coins towards your account and get you on your way to earning that first reward from either Amazon gift card, Target gift cards, all kinds of things. You can also donate your coins to your favorite charity that they offer. If you're going to be listening to podcasts anyways, you might as well get some free stuff for doing it. So download the PodCoin app, put in the code the Nerd Cantina, get your free coins, and start earning money while you listen to our show.